Ah, we're here. Woo!
We've made it to regionals. Yes.
We didn't stop believing, and look at us now.
Oh man. You could say that we've been faithful in our recordings of this podcast. Faithfully is one of the Journey songs that they sing at regionals.
If that's any way you want it.
That's the way. I like it.
These are hard. Okay, enough with the Journey puns. Hi,
Yes.
guys, gals, and everyone. Everyone. Yes, we're here.
We are here. We are at the final episode of Glee Season 1, Journey to Regionals.
No, episode 22 in the year 2022.
Oh, it's prophetic.
It's pathetic. No, I'm kidding. It's prophetic. I don't think it's pathetic. I think it's a huge milestone, and I'm excited and can't express my gratitude enough. You know, let's start out with shout out. Shout out to you, Megan. This wouldn't be possible without you. She, if y'all didn't know, she's the one that gathers everything. So she saves the recordings. She has the plot lines already. A lot of the, I say the time, because yes, I admit I'm the one that had to mess up time recordings for various life things, but she has been very accommodating and very helpful in that. And so you are the MVP in this relationship and podcast.
I would say we are both MVPs. I think you also deserve a shout out, Jasper. Jasper has made podcasts before. Actually, if you've not listened to it, you should listen to Suburban Boy on Spotify. Jasper is knowledgeable about I don't even know what it's called. What's that you edit this the episodes on?
Oh, Anchor,
Yeah, so I
Anchor.
don't even know what it's called. He uses Anchor to edit all of our episodes. Make
Shout
sure that
out
he
to
posts it on
Anchor.
Fridays and just brings a lot more flair and not drama in like a bad way, but just like entertainment. You are an entertainer to a T, and
Oh,
it
thank
would
you.
definitely not be as interesting or listenable without you. And I love this again, and we've said this before, but we've been goofing around and talking about doing this podcast for years, but it feels really good to have done it. And who knows? Maybe this doesn't have to be the final podcast for To Glee or not To Glee. So,
Ooh,
but that's a
very true.
conversation for another time. As we sometimes say in our podcasts, that's not what this podcast is about.
Yes, exactly. But we had to get out shout outs because I'm,
Yes.
like I said, so grateful. And shout out to you all for listening and making it to the end, because you enjoyed it. I always feel like, why do stick with something you're not enjoying or is not like feeding you or giving you life? And you decided that this was something that did, and you made it to the end, and we are just like really blessed and encouraged by that.
Yeah, and for those of you who reached out and told us that you're enjoying yourself, we really appreciate it. It's encouraging and it gives us some new direction to keep in mind when we are recording.
Yes. Thank you to every person that wrote a review as well. And they've just been coming in and piling up. We're just so thankful. We can never get too many.
Yeah. Again, as we are recording this in the past, we are still waiting for some official reviews. So, Jasper, speak it into existence. Hopefully, that will help. But yeah, that would be a great, like I said before, that'd be a great Christmas present for us to get a little bit of feedback on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, wherever you listen. We would appreciate some reviews. But we gotta talk
But
about our favorite Glee Club. We've got to talk about their arrival to mm-hmm. a place that they never thought they would be at the beginning of the season.
True. Mm-hmm. The place is called Regionals. Yes. The biggest choir competition tier that you can get to win the national title.
No. So let's take a second to talk about competition hierarchy. So you have your sectionals, which is very local, right? It's like local high schools or groups wherever you're competing. Regionals is a larger region. So like maybe it's the state of Ohio, maybe it's nationals is the nation. So like nationals would be like winning regionals and then going and competing against other choirs from other parts of the nation. You got it. I don't know. Glee does not make it clear about like the hierarchy. But in real life competition, whether it's music or arts or sports, it's regionals and then nationals. And sometimes there's like regionals or and then something between regionals and nationals. But long story short, the New Directions have passed sectionals. They won their sectionals competition. And now they are competing against other schools from further away. I'm guessing my gut says like the state of Ohio, you know, where they're in.
Yeah.
At regionals. So we find them getting ready to go up against two other groups. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what's really cool about this is that you get what it looks like now, knowing that Glee has been a success. So this is the 22nd episode. So it's bigger, it's better.
They brought
the judges back around. Basically, it's a collection of all the people we met throughout the season, which is something that I forgot about, but it was fantastic. You had Rob, right? Mr. news
Rod
anchor.
Remington.
Yeah, Rod Remington came back. You've got Olivia Newton-John.
Crazy.
Popping up in there.
Insane. Yeah.
Yes. And then we got the legendary John Groban, or maybe I should say the legendary Olivia Newton-John, and then the icon Josh Groban.
Yes.
And then, plot twist, who's the fourth judge?
None other than our local villain, Sue Sylvester, who, somehow she's on this panel of celebrity judges. How she gets there is very unclear. And also that she is judging this competition, which also she would have never, again, this is not real life, this is a TV show, but
it is real life.
But she never would have been on the judging panel because she's from one of the schools competing. That'd be a conflict of interest.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyways, but she's on the panel of judges. We don't know how she got there. She just is. And so there's four judges, and now McKinley High and their Glee Club is like, there's no way we're gonna win or even place because Sue doesn't want us to win, and she's a judge, so she's gonna influence the vote, and we're not gonna win regionals. Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. Place.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they really get on her about that. They're like, you're not even a celebrity. How did you get on here? And Olivia Newton-John was saying hilarious things. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
She was like, what's up with that McKinley New Directions people? Is that a poor person's school?
Oh my gosh. She's like, they need to sing a song that's a tribute to me, you know?
Yes. Oh, she said, Ragtag Misfits is so 2009.
Which in their timeline is the year before.
Yeah, the year before. And then she was like, Sue, you're not even a celebrity. I mean, I was a, did she say something about?
I put together my own band by the time I was 14. And Josh Groban was in like the Mickey Mouse Club or something.
Yes, it was him. And she was mixing him up for Ryan Gosling. But anyways, I think, or Justin Timberlake, either of those.
I know very little about the Mickey Mouse Club.
Well, the last revamp that they had that discovered Justin, Christina, Brittany, and Ryan.
Wow.
That was epic. Yeah.
I had no idea. I missed out entirely.
Look it up, guys, on YouTube. Look up Ryan Gosling, Jesse, Jesse, Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, and Britney Spears, and they are all kids singing and dancing together on a show called The Queen's Club.
That's adorable.
History, know your stars, know your stars, know your... But, anyways, legendary, love the judges panel. And then I'm trying to remember, there weren't... What I loved about the competitions that come up later in the series is that you got performances from other schools that were really fun to listen to. And it was cool to hear like a different sound of covers. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that so much this time around. I think Oral Intensity did like a line and then they cut to like script. But we did get to see the New Directions come together with a Journey medley. And it was a powerful moment because everyone was really sad and worried that the Glee Club was going to be over, including Mr. Shu. I think like every character had some type of meltdown about the fact that they would lose something that was so valuable to them, and they didn't realize how valuable it was until it was threatened to be taken away. And that was really powerful to see. So Mr. Shu listens to a Journey song and breaks down on the highway, and that inspired the Journey medley. And honestly, probably the most powerful medley and performance of the whole series. Like, the songs were spot on to what was actually happening in their journey.
Yeah.
And you got to really see them polished, but also still keep the essence of who they are.
Yeah.
I don't think it happened like that ever again, but just, I mean, faithfully, what a powerful anthem, like talking about the relationship with the choir and each other. And then, you know, Any Way You Want It, kind of just like how it
up with Love and Touch and Squeezing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And just that beautifulness. And then, of course, ending with Don't Stop Believing and hearing everybody sing a part in that. It's just a really powerful movie.
Yeah.
And it was great because that led to a reconciliation moment, which I totally forgot about, with Quinn and her mother. Because her mother...
I had totally forgotten, too. Yeah.
Totally forgot about that. And I think it's a very important thing to bring up because it confirmed the tension in her household.
Yeah. Because when we were watching the episode when she finally told her parents, because Finn kind of forced her to tell her parents that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And her dad immediately kicks her out. And the mom, like her mom she tries to convince her dad to let her stay. But her mom was like, our theory is that she is... The show portrays her as an alcoholic that she drinks to get through. And it's pretty apparent from that episode that her dad and her mom are not in sync with each other. And it seems like they have been for a long time. And so this episode reveals the hypocrisy of her own dad and how her mom kicks him out because he had an affair.
Oof.
Ugh. Gosh, it's awful. And so, the tension that's very well portrayed by the show now kind of comes to a new moment where her mom came to see her perform, you know, which is so sweet and lovely. I would have such mixed feelings as Quinn because I'm like, you kicked me out. You didn't stop Dad. You know, I mean, I'm sure in the moment it's like, oh, thank God. Because it's your mom, right? Like, you assuming that Quinn has had a healthy relationship with her mom or wants to be, you know, in a good relationship with her mom. It would probably be a, oh, thank goodness. And also I can go home because her mom asks her to move back in with her.
It did seem like it, like on in the defense of the mom and Quinn, I think they did have a great relationship because I can't forget the scene when she was trying to put on the dress and she was like, ooh, you gained a little weight or something. And there was just like something there that was like, you could tell me, but it could jeopardize both of our lives. But like, you know, I still love you as my daughter.
Right.
And that was probably where some of the tension was. Like, the mom really did love and respect Quinn, and she wasn't allowed to use her voice in a household because basically the dad was a tyrant
Yeah.
and very intense. And I've been coming upon this truth a lot lately. Like, some people who are so intense about certain topics are most of the time the guilty ones. Like,
They feel so intensely about it because they themselves struggle with it.
yes.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
100%. I would say, like, yeah, I would fully 100% agree with that. Just because, yeah, there's unfortunately, like, I think about stories about people's moral failings, or people that are so uptight about money tend to not use it well, people who are so caught up in people's like promiscuity or sexual expression, they themselves might have issues with their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah, fully agree with that. So it would
Yeah.
make, I mean, so with that in mind, her dad having an issue, which also that let's take into account that the show doesn't really dive into it, but people of religious persuasions tend to be quite legalistic, even if they as individuals themselves don't live up to their own expectations.
Talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So
We
anyways,
know.
so
We
to,
know.
yeah, not to say that religious people are worse or better than non-religious people, but to just say, I think when people have a certain faith structure around why they believe or why they do what they do, and
Yeah.
then they fail. All people fail, but
Period.
when you have a legalistic structure, and there should be quote unquote a way of living, and you don't live up to it, oftentimes shame's a very powerful thing, you know. And so instead of just naming it and hopefully getting help with whatever you're struggling with, we tend to hide it because we're ashamed and we're worried about, oh, what does this mean about me or my faith if XYZ happens? Anyways, that's my little soapbox.
Yeah, she
But
has
yeah,
one.
so her dad has an affair, and he gets kicked out, and her mom comes and says, "I want you to move back in with me." And then Quinn's water breaks because she's
Great.
9 months pregnant, baby. Yes. And she is whisked off to the hospital.
Literally.
Right before,
And
and
yes, well, we're going to say the same thing, but she was whisked off simultaneously with oral intensity
no,
so bad.
vocal adrenaline. So really
Oh,
quick, we didn't, I don't know if we communicated this properly. The other two groups performing at
yeah.
regionals are vocal adrenaline, which is the choir that's been bullying McKinley High.
Period.
And the other one is called oral intensity,
Yes.
which is a terrible name for a glee club or any group for that matter. But yeah, so vocal adrenaline goes on. They're the last group to perform, and as Quinn goes into labor and has her baby, which also for a first labor and birth delivery, this is way too fast. There's no way she would have, like, gone to the hospital, had her baby, and like all the glee club kids go with her.
Glee
And then
Club crew.
somehow make it back before the award ceremony. That wouldn't have happened.
Definitely magic.
Yeah.
Unless the hospital was next door.
Even then, but vocal adrenaline goes on stage and they perform the behemoth that is Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
It's called? Bohemian?
No. I'm using that as a descriptor, behemoth, like a huge song. Like it's a hard song.
Oh yes,
Yeah.
it is a huge song, and
Yes.
it's like five songs in one. If anyone's seen the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, you understand like the process of making this song was literally insane, but
Yeah.
like musically genius. And still to this day, I don't think any song became a single that has become a single and has been this complex has happened
Yes.
that I can think of. No.
I think too, it's interesting because while it we can't really do a fair comparison because we don't even see Oral Intensity's performance. We just hear a little snippet of it.
True.
But like the other choirs performed multiple songs. And yes. Like while Bohemian Rhapsody is very long, it's very difficult, it's very intense. Yeah. It's one song. I feel like that would have put them in third place immediately for me. But like you didn't even do more than one song.
But they attacked the song of songs that feels like it has multiple songs in it with full on choreography. So I think it's fair. I think it's more of length at that point.
Sure.
I'd give it to them.
But I mean, amazing. And I forgot how intense that sequence was. So they're like, they're going back and forth in the show between so Jesse St. James is the you know, the soloist, he's Freddie, and he's singing Bohemian Rhapsody with Vocal Adrenaline, and it's cutting back and forth from their performance to Quinn giving birth in the hospital.
And literally the lyrics are matching up to what's happening.
Yeah.
She's like, let me go.
Yeah, they're using the lyrics from from Bohemian Rhapsody to kind of dictate Quinn's
labor
birth language, or what's the word I'm looking for? Her like labor. Screams. Yeah, she's screaming no. She's like, like said, she's like, let me go. You know, no. You know, but she's not singing it. She's just yelling it. Oh my gosh. And it sounds kind of corny the way we're talking about it, but it's really intense.
It's actually one of the best TV moments of that decade, because whoever thought about that, it was genius.
Yeah.
Great. It lined up very well, lyrically, intensity-wise.
Yeah.
And it created a good transition.
Yeah.
A great transition. I think it ended the best way it could have ended. Iconic.
Yeah. And they're doing that kind of classic stage format where everyone's sitting on a stool. It's very Rent. Yeah. Very, you know, musical theater-esque-y. And they're all sitting on stools singing to Mr. Shu. And I teared up because before they sing the song to Mr. Schuster, each student shares something that like ways that they grew that year because of legal.
And
oh my gosh, when Finn was like, I didn't have a dad and now I have like a guy to look up to show me like what being a man is like, and I'm like, oh my god, Finn, Corey,
what they were saying was very characteristic, which was beautiful.
Yes.
I think what got me was when they were singing the song. And once again, Glee has a great way of splitting up the parts.
Yeah.
The way that they were singing individually and harmonizing, but then like the tears that everyone was shedding, that
got people me. Were crying.
Those
yeah.
Were real.
They felt real. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. They
yeah.
I think they were real, Megan.
Okay, you can think that. That's okay. And while McKinley High's Glee Club is saying goodbye to Mr. Shu, because the school year's ending, you know, Glee Club's not going to be going on next year.
Yeah.
A certain Sue Sylvester is in the back of the auditorium watching this exchange.
Crying.
Shedding a tear. Sue Sylvester does not cry. She had her tear ducts removed, if you don't remember that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They were like, I didn't consider a use for them or something she had said that was really funny. She's like,
so I probably something about like pranks for losers or something like that.
Yeah.
But she is moved. And like any good sitcom, there's a happy ending. And she decides, because she's in charge apparently, that Glee gets another year. And she goes to Principal Figgins and Will Schuster, and she tells them, you know, through her mean, passive-aggressive, Sue Sylvester-y way that, and I got emotional too, because she was like, to Will, she's like, I don't like you, but you're a good educator, and you're making a difference in these kids' lives, and that's the most, again, Sue Sylvester's an onion, right? Like, she has this very tough exterior, doesn't want people to see that she's a real kind, well, I mean, not well-natured, but, like, she's a person. She's not a monster. So, surprise, surprise, this is not the end of the Glee Club. Wow! Ooh. Who saw that coming?
Not the 6 seasons that came after.
No. But that's, honestly, I still remember watching this episode the first time, and I thought that this was the last episode of Glee, and I was, like, really upset. I was like, very excited when...
Yeah, I think also I was convinced, but maybe not, because season two was when I followed the show in real time.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I did know it wasn't the end, because I think season two was already being revealed. They did a really good job on the last episode of that season.
And the way they wrote, I thought it was really ingenious, the way that they wrote this season, this episode, if they hadn't been greenlighted or got the funding or support for a second season, this is how it would have ended. You know what I mean?
And that would have been fine.
But I thought it was smart the way that they did that.
Oh, and we can't forget this part, because it's very important, yet I don't know if it gets revisited, but what happened to Quinn's baby?
Oh, yeah. So Quinn has her baby. You know, like, we talked about this previously, where it was like, we're kind of unsure if she wants to keep the baby or if she wants to give the baby for adoption. And I was trying to remember, I didn't remember what she did in rewatching this. And when her mom came back and said, we could turn the guest room into a nursery, I was like, Quinn keep her baby? Like, I literally couldn't remember. But Quinn does what she thinks is the right thing. And she's like, no, I'm going to give this baby up for adoption. I think in her mind, it's one of those, I can't give as good of a life to this child as it deserves, or maybe she just wants to keep being a teenager. And that's, we could have arguments, not you and I specifically, but people, we could debate about, like, responsibility and you're the mother, but it's like, she's a kid. Like, this character is a child. This character is 16 years old. And a 16-year-old raising a kid, for those of you who have done that, if anyone listens to this and you have done that, you're amazing. I don't know how you did it. But 16-year-olds are not meant to be parents. You know what I mean? Like, they're not ready for it. I mean, is anyone ready to have a kid? Maybe not. I don't know. We could have that conversation another time. But to get to the point that you were getting at, was the baby is adopted by Shelby, who is the director of Vocal Adrenaline.
And also Rachel's mother.
Yes, and also Rachel. Yeah. That, we didn't talk about that either, but there's an exchange between Rachel and Shelby where Rachel tries to get her to come to co-teach at McKinley High School. And Shelby kind of makes a point to Rachel of, like, I'm over show choir, I'm tired of working. like I'm tired of my life being around my work, right? She's like, I want a family, which is like, as Rachel, I mean, granted, Rachel, it's not like Rachel was given up for adoption because she was unexpected pregnancy. It's, she was always going to be adopted by her dads. So anyways, it's, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of Rachel's character, where it's like, but you didn't want me and now you want a baby. You know, it's like that kind of hard, difficult thing to process. Like,
exactly.
I know some friends who are adopted who are processing both, like, I know some kids who are adopted and adults who process this too, of just the, like, you know, the, some who know their parents, some who don't, and the whole, some people, their parents had kids later after them, and that's really, really hard for them to deal with and to not be defined by. But we have this crazy, story twist where Shelby adopts the baby whose name is Beth, this little girl.
Yeah. Which was really creepy, by the way. It was giving me Alphabet vibes.
What was creepy?
When Idina Menzel popped up at the nursery right next to Puck and
Oh,
Quinn.
yeah, that was really creepy. No, that was like, how did you know where they were?
And she was
you
like,
weirdo.
Maybe it's yours.
Oh my God.
And I was like, and they said nothing, and she was like, I see him now, or I see her now.
Yeah. Oh, I see her. She looks just like you.
I was like, literally, everyone run, lock down the hospital. See, this is pre 01 because you can't just jump up in the maternity world asking, who's my
pre
baby? Who's your baby?
01.
01, September 11th?
No, I, but this show wasn't before 2001.
Oh my gosh, you're right. So that hospital literally was running
just
illegally.
Wasn't doing their job properly. Yeah, bro, the show started in 2009.
Oh, that's true. What
yeah.
Okay, so the protocols were messed up. Or Shelby was sneaky and she saw the Glee kids and was like, hey, where's the baby? Where's
She's sneaky.
Quinn?
Yeah, I would 100% put it on her character. She tried to give an adoption tape thingy to Rachel to listen to. With, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she not employed. She got a high schooler that she taught to go seduce. Well, she said befriend. He took it as seduce, right? But to go befriend her adopted daughter, right? Anyways,
right.
It is a little creepy. I will say the first time I saw it, it didn't read as creepy, but now being like, oh my gosh, no, this is wild. This would never happen.
Yeah. And it's really exciting because now I'm remembering some stuff and can't wait to revisit that situation. But also, that is it. I think that
yeah.
is it.
There is, we talked about all of the music except for the one song that Mr. Schuster sings back to the Glee Club. So they sing to him, they sing the goodbye song. He tells them, we get Glee for another year.
Yeah.
And then he sings, and he's accompanied by Puck over the rainbow, which beautiful. I will say that's probably one of my favorite Mr. Schuster songs.
Absolutely. Did it match with the moment? But it was cute.
I thought it matched. I liked it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And not the original arrangement. From like Wizard of Oz, but it was, I'm not gonna be able to, by Isaiah.
Oh my gosh, yes, his name.
Kamakawiwoole. I don't know how to say his name properly. I apologize. But the I call it the ukulele version. The island
yes.
version. Yeah.
Iconic.
Which, fun fact, that is the one and only song that I've ever slow danced to with a significant other.
Oh, that's cute.
It was okay. Very cute. It felt very movie-esque in the moment. This was that sophomore year of homecoming.
Oh. Yeah. Well, his first name is Israel, so the ukulele version by Israel.
By Israel, okay. And okay. You'll know it. You'll recognize it.
You'll know.
You should know it at this point.
Yes.
That's it. That journey. Really is all for Glee Season 1.
It's over.
Or is it just beginning? That's where you'll find me.
But you know what's fun? You'll find us. If you want to look for us, you'll find us. Relive all 22 episodes. You know, talk to us. Go through every episode, leave a comment, leave yes. a rebuttal, just like really have fun with it. We really have fun on this journey and we really just want you to feel what we feel going through the nostalgia and just really enjoying the different topics and even the personal stories we shared with you all.
Yeah, and the music. It's all about the music, right? It's so good. It's fun to, yeah, this was super fun, Jasper. I'm so excited that we did this and I have really enjoyed this, and I think that we can rest easy knowing that we have shared our love for Glee with even more people than we did before.
Absolutely. Rest easy, folks. We're out.
Yep. Thanks for listening, y'all. Have a great end of your year.
Only on Glee.
To Glee or not to Glee. Bye. Glee.